For many of us, a new year means a new healthy food habit, or at least an attempt to address some of the excesses of the Christmas season. But when it comes to convenience and snack foods, what do we need to know about making better choices, and what snacks could we have a go at making ourselves? Well, I'm joined now from our Limerick studio by Agnes Boucher-Hayes, home economist and lecturer at the Technological University of the Shannon. Hello, Agnes.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again.
Lovely to speak to you.
What is it about convenience foods that make us crave them? And when we have one bite, we just want more and more and more.
Yeah. And we did that over Christmas, didn't we? Well, I certainly did anyway. So what it is, Claire, again, we're going back to the sugar, fat and salt that you know, these create a lovely, unctuous taste in our mouth, and it gives us the craving for more from the mouthfeel. So that's really what we're looking, what causes us to want more. So there is a trigeminal nerve just at the, and it sits above and behind the mouth, and this sends tactile information to the brain, and that's what creates the whole mouthfeel. So this salt, sugar and fat, they create this thing that tells our brain, yes, we enjoy this and we love it, as well as the crisp factor. So the, and what manufacturers have perfected, particularly with crisps, and we discussed this before, is the crispiness and the crunch factor that we really enjoy. And then that, you know, and that encourages us, and basically, as we said before, you're biologically predisposed to taking more because you enjoy it so much.
So my body made me do it.
Your body made you do it. It's a pleasure sensation that's delivered to your brain, and that's what you get from your crisps. Okay. So what we're going to try and do is encourage people to get that same pleasure sensation without maybe, so with a little bit more information, okay, maybe a little bit healthier.
Because, Agnes, there are a lot of snacks that are targeted at us, and they tell us that they are healthier than your regular bar of chocolate or your normal packet of crisps. How do those claims stack up? I know you've been taking an in-depth look.
So what happens, and what is happening more often recently, is that there's a halo effect going on. So we choose these and we feel that we're polishing our halo if we choose these particular products. And we're encouraged to buy them because they can be high in protein. Something is called out on the label, and something draws the consumer in on the label to give this clean living, or this, you know, the effects of, you know, low in, no added, those kind of claims. Now, when any manufacturer puts a claim like that on a label, there is legislation behind that which goes across the EU. Food information for consumers. The Food Safety Authority of Ireland have really lovely information on it. And it's very simple. Any label should not mislead, misguide any consumer at any time. So if it says something, if something is reduced salt, or it must have less than another product, at least 30% less than another product of the same standard. If something says, it states it's high in, it has to have that. It has to have that claim backed up. So, for example, if something says that it's high in protein, that's fine, that's grand, that's lovely. You must get 20% of all of the energy must come from protein. If it's a source of protein, 12% of the energy must come from that. Now, how do we translate this to unpack information when we're making snap decisions inside the supermarket? So we look and we can see that there is a bar or a packet of crisps or something that says, this is, well, let's talk about protein bars. They will say they're high in protein. And they will have at least 20% of all of their energy and their calorific value coming from protein. However, that doesn't state, or it doesn't guarantee, that there isn't high salt or high sugar or high fat also present there. So that's where the consumer needs to be careful.
Okay, and so high in one thing doesn't mean low in another.
No, it doesn't. It simply means that specific nutrient, that is what's being talked about. Now, one of the things that consumers can get, you know, within some of those products that would be aimed at the clean living, healthy aspect, it will say no added sugar. And this is one that I can get drawn in by myself. So when you look at it and go, no added sugar, fabulous. But it doesn't mean that there isn't sugar in the product. So if the product is made, for example, from dried fruit, there are a lot of natural sugars present. So the packet must state that there are sugars occurring from natural sources. But what no added sugar means is that it does not contain any monosaccharide or any disaccharide or any other food used for sweetening purposes. Now, that's also like sweeteners, apple concentrate that can be used, glucose, any syrups, agave syrups, honey, molasses. it also must not contain any of those. So when we talk about our no added sugar.
Okay.
But for example, if you were looking at, if you were making, if you're looking at a sweet bar for a flapjack bar for children, a lot of parents will go towards an oat bar for a child because it's a more complex carbohydrate and it can have extra fibre present in it and extra dried fruit. But it also may contain quite a lot of naturally occurring sugars.
Okay.
So just to be aware.
And what then about when you're craving the crisp products, as we were in our house in between Christmas and New Year, and I was in the supermarket, I said, oh, be a bit healthy now. So I bought lentil crisps.
Yes, I went what's it myself.
Everyone devoured them, but I had a look at the back of the packet and I don't think I was doing anyone any favours by buying those.
No. So these are products that are, now this particular market, Claire, is one of the target markets for the fast moving consumable goods. They're, you know, it's one of the big growth areas in, and we will see far more of it. We will see puffed and baked and a lot of things like that. Now, in essence, yes, lentils are better for you. You know, they contain protein, they contain they contain fibre, and they're quite filling. So yeah, that's wonderful. And they're puffed rather than cooked in fat. So the saturated fat may be less. However, to get flavour into, and particularly any type of flavoured, like sour cream or whatever flavour lentil crisp you're eating, you have to add in a lot of flavourings and maybe extra salts to get that. And you aren't necessarily getting any extra protein, or you wouldn't be necessarily, like I did a little comparison just fibre-wise between a crisp and one, like a regular crisp, just a ready salted crisp and a lentil crisp. And there was actually more fibre. There was 3.7 grams of fibre in the crisp, and there was only 0.7 grams of fibre in the lentil crisp. Now, there was more protein present, but there wasn't, you know, but again, you've got to kind of balance out, what are you looking for? Is it calorific? Is it calories you're looking at? So is it energy? Is it salt? Is it sugar? Is it fat? What are you trying to evaluate?
To reduce. And tell me then, if you are buying rice cakes for children, I assume the plain ones are fine, but you get these lovely ones that have the yogurt topping or the chocolate topping.
Yeah.
Well, where do they stand on the health factor?
And you see, okay, so when we talk about health, I think we have to also bear in mind, nobody gives anything to a child, and I know you feel this yourself as well, nobody gives anything to a child that they feel is going to hurt, harm or injure or cause any, you know, health impact. But when you think about rice, if you're cooking rice at home, you have to add a lot of salt to it. So even the rice cake has a lot of salt added to it to give it some form of flavour. So you have to be aware of that, because, you know, we do take in a lot of salt to our diet. I know we've spoken about this before. We do take a lot of salt in. So just to be aware of the size of the rice cake versus the size of the child that you're feeding, the human that you have in front of you. But I did do a little evaluation between chocolate digestive and rice cakes, that my personal favourite, with the Belgian chocolate, the dark Belgian chocolate on top. Yeah, they are. But per 100 grams, they're roughly the same calorific value. The fat content on the rice cake with the little bit is higher, and the saturated fat is higher as well, which you wouldn't imagine rather than it was a McVitie's digestive biscuit that I looked at.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you're comparing weight there. It's 100 grams of each, and it's harder, isn't it, to eat 100 grams of the rice cake?
It would be, but again, would you eat three of them throughout the day, or would you eat, you know, you could, if you were having a craving of a little bit. So if you looked at a calorific value between the McVitie's, one McVitie's biscuit and one rice cake covered with the chocolate, it's 55 kilocalories for the rice cake and 83 kilocalories for
It's not that much in the difference. And you see, it probably compensates. You go, oh, that's a rice cake, so I can have three of them.
Well, you see, that's the problem, because we do, after Christmas as well, we've eaten so much, I think, that we have a little, our appetites are larger. We're used to the more of the indulgence and a little bit of gluttony.
Expanded bellies. On the drinks front, then, we think we're doing really good work, perhaps, if we give our children smoothies, fruit smoothies, as opposed to fizzy drinks. And are we really?
Well, just to bear in mind as well, current thinking is no child should have any form of anything other than milk or water before the age of two.
Okay.
So that's standard. And then after that, it's, you know, we need to be a little bit more careful. But parents are doing their best, and they feel that giving them a smoothie, they're getting at least some of their five a day into them. So if one of, now five a day is a guide. It's not a regulation. So it's about 75 grams of a whole, like 75 grams of carrot, of peas, of corn. That's roughly what it looks like. Or 30 grams of dried fruit would equate to one of your five a day. And 150 mils, now think about 150 mils, it's not that much.
No.
That is what would equate to one of your five a day with regards to when you're consuming a fruit-based drink. So sometimes as well, there is a lot, if you think about how much you have to put into, would you sit down, would you give a child an apple, two pears, an orange and a half and half a grapefruit to eat in one go?
Probably not. Yeah, unlikely.
So that's what can be in some of the in some of the drinks. While they're better maybe than other drinks, they're not necessarily the panacea that we can think that they are. For example, there's as much sugar in some of the smoothies as there can be in full fat, you know, in regular Coke.
Okay, well, look, you've given us some great recipes for making our own snacks at home. Spiced crispy chickpeas is one. Making your own baked crisp slices, home-baked crisps. Not easy, but worth doing if you have a bit of time, maybe
worth
over
doing
the weekend.
And try to do it in a batch. Now, the chickpeas one, that is a beautiful recipe. And I first came across this, it was a Donna Hay recipe. So if anybody wants to look up Donna Hay's website, she's an Australian food writer. She's beautiful recipes there. And this is, okay. I made these and they do give you the crispiness. Leave them in the oven a little bit longer to dry out a little bit more and you'll get better value throughout the week.
And tuck in. And listen, you don't have to go looking for the recipe because I have them for you here now. They're up on our website rte.ie/todaycb from a wonderful chef, Agnes Boucher-Hayes, who has given us the recipes for your homemade snacks. Yeah. Agnes, thank you so much.
No
great
problem,
to talk
Claire.
To you
Lovely
again.
To chat to you.
We'll talk again soon.